Moving into systems programming territory, there's an impressive project trending that demonstrates the growing sophistication of embedded development. Someone built a Matter Wi-Fi light bulb using Rust on the Raspberry Pi Pico 2W. This might sound like a simple IoT project, but it represents several significant technical achievements converging.
The Matter protocol is particularly important here. It's designed to create interoperability between smart home devices from different manufacturers, which has been a persistent problem in IoT. Getting Matter working on a low-power microcontroller like the Pico 2W requires careful attention to memory management, power efficiency, and network stack optimization.
Using Rust for embedded systems programming is also noteworthy. Rust's memory safety guarantees are particularly valuable in embedded contexts where debugging is difficult and failures can be catastrophic. The fact that someone can implement a complete Matter device in Rust on hardware that costs under $20 shows how accessible these technologies have become.
The technical implementation details are impressive. They're using the Embassy Async runtime for Rust, which allows efficient handling of multiple concurrent tasks on a single-core microcontroller. This enables the device to manage Wi-Fi connectivity, Matter protocol communication, and hardware control simultaneously, without blocking operations.
From an industry perspective, projects like this demonstrate the potential for rapid innovation in IoT when open-source tools and affordable hardware converge. Traditional embedded development often required expensive tool chains and proprietary systems. Now, you can build production-quality connected devices using entirely open-source software stacks.
There's also interesting work happening in the ZIG programming language space. Someone shared a detailed explanation of ZIG's structs of arrays approach, which is a memory layout optimization that can significantly improve performance for certain types of data processing. This kind of systems programming knowledge is becoming more accessible through better educational resources.
ZIG represents an interesting middle ground between the low-level control of C and the safety features of Rust. The structs of arrays pattern they're demonstrating is particularly relevant for performance-critical applications where memory access patterns can make the difference between acceptable and exceptional performance.
The educational aspect of these systems programming posts is valuable. Understanding memory layout, cache efficiency, and hardware-software interaction used to be specialized knowledge. Now, developers are sharing detailed explanations and working examples that make these concepts accessible to a broader audience.
Speaking of open-source accessibility, the European Union released their new open-source strategy, which outlines how they plan to support and utilize open-source software across government operations. This represents a significant policy shift that could influence open-source development globally.
The EU strategy is particularly interesting because it goes beyond just cost savings. They're explicitly recognizing open-source as a strategic independence issue. By reducing dependence on proprietary software from non-EU companies, they're treating open source as a matter of technological sovereignty.
The policy implications are substantial. When an economic bloc as large as the EU commits to open source adoption and funding, it creates market incentives that extend far beyond government usage. Private companies that want to serve EU markets have additional reasons to support open source alternatives to proprietary solutions.
There are also specific technical commitments in the strategy around contributing back to open source projects, funding critical infrastructure, and developing EU-based alternatives to key software components. This could provide significant resources for projects that form the foundation of internet infrastructure.
However, there's an interesting "what if we're wrong" angle to consider here. The EU's open source strategy assumes that investing in open alternatives to proprietary software will increase strategic independence and reduce vendor lock-in. But what if the networking effects and ecosystem advantages of dominant proprietary platforms are so strong that open alternatives can never achieve comparable functionality or adoption?
That's a crucial question, Marcus. The strategy might be based on a misconception about how software ecosystems develop competitive advantages. Proprietary platforms like Microsoft Office or Salesforce don't just succeed because of their core functionality. They succeed because of integrations, third-party development, user familiarity, and professional services ecosystems that take decades to build.
If we're wrong about the viability of this approach, we'd expect to see EU organizations gradually returning to proprietary solutions despite policy preferences, or we'd see significant productivity losses as organizations struggle with less mature open-source alternatives. The key signal to watch would be whether EU-funded open-source projects can attract substantial non-EU adoption and development if they remain primarily European initiatives. That might indicate limited global competitive viability.
The counterargument, though, is that open source has already proven successful in critical infrastructure. Linux, Apache, PostgreSQL. So the question isn't whether open source can succeed, but whether coordinated public investment can accelerate development in areas where market incentives haven't been sufficient.